This week's parsha is Parsha Shmini. It's less than 2 days. I'm bringing on Shabbos Parsha Shmini. Less than 2 days after the Sefer Kochas. Listen, Sefer Shlomo said, I've done what more can I do? Anything I can do is give the matter over to you. And you should do all that's in your power to bring about the coming of Mashiach. And Shabbos, which was, as we said, less than 2 days later, the Rebbe addressed certain questions regarding that statement. Statement that the Rebbe says, I'm now giving it over to you, that you should do all that's in your power to bring about the coming of Mashiach. The Rebbe raised the question that many people have, which is people feel that I'm a limited person with limited capacities. Most of my day is occupied with Yanei HaRashus, with matters that I need in order to stay alive, to eat, drink, sleep, making a living, other things that people need to do in order to be able to live. So the question that people have is that I'm so overwhelmed, I'm a limited human being, and I have all these other obligations. How could it be expected of me to accomplish anything, even a small thing, let alone how could it be that it's up to me in order to bring about the coming of Mashiach? And the Rebbe addressed this question, and we spoke about a number of things in the Fabrengen. The Rebbe spoke about, as in many Fabrengens, the Rebbe raised a number of points that show the connection between different aspects of the time. The Rebbe spoke about the year, that year, Tavshin and Aleph, was a year which the Rebbe referred to as the year of Arenu Niflois, the year of I Will Show You Wonders. There was also Parsha Shmini, and that year, Shmini was read 8 times in Shul. Because when Pesach, on the first day Pesach, comes out on Shabbos, so the Shabbos before is Parsha Tzav, so by Mincha, the Shabbos before, we read Parsha Shmini, then again on Monday and Thursday, so you have 3 times. Shabbos is Pesach. Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So you don't read Shmini that Shabbos, you read the Pesach reading, so then again on Monday and Thursday. At Mincha, on Shabbos, on Pesach, you read it for the 4th time. Then the next Shabbos, which is the last day of Pesach, again, you don't read it in the morning, you read it at Mincha, for the 5th time. And then the following week, Monday and Thursday again, 7 times. And then finally, you read it on Shabbos, which altogether makes it 8 times. Whoever quoted a saying which says, that when Parsha Shmini is read 8 times, it's a play on words which says Shmini, Shmeina, Shmeina. That a year in which Parsha Shmini is read 8 times is considered a fat year. That it's filled with Gashmias and Ruchnias. So, whoever addressed that saying, what is the significance of Parsha Shmini being read 8 times? Rebbe also addressed the fact that it was the first week of starting to say Pirkei Avos. And in addition, it was also Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And Rebbe addressed the significance of that. And also the fact that when Pesach comes out on Shabbos, so each week of Sphira goes according to the week. In other words, the first day of Sphira starts on a Sunday, Maitzah Shabbos. So each week of Sfira is completed on Shabbos. And I was talking about the significance of the fact that that was the completion of the second week of Sfira. These are the different points that the Rebbe touched on in the Sicha and connected all of those points and discussed the lessons to be learned from it. But the basic theme of what the Sicha is about, without going into all the details, the basic theme of what the Sicha is about is that the Rebbe spoke in addressing this question, the question of, I'm just a small little person, where do I have this who's limited and occupied with all kinds of other things that take up most of my time? How is it to be expected of me to accomplish anything, let alone something of such great significance as bringing about the coming of Mashiach? So the Rebbe explained, connecting all of the issues we mentioned before, the Rebbe explained that a Jew in his divine service has the capacity to transcend their limitations or to operate on the level of infinity, to go beyond their limitations. It's a person's limitations that render them finite. A person in his divine service, every Jew has the capacity to go beyond their limitations and serve Hashem and do Torah mitzvahs in an infinite way. This is what is referred to in Chassidus in many places. It's referred to as b'chol ma'idecha. Say in the Shema that a person that after Hashem alikecha should love Hashem b'chol levavcha with all your heart, b'chol nafshecha with all your soul, and then it adds b'chol ma'idecha. The question is, what does b'chol ma'idecha mean? So one explanation is that it means with all your money. Ma'id sometimes refers to one's material possession. The other explanation is that you should love Hashem and serve Hashem with any measure that He measures out to you. In other words, any way that Hashem deals with you, you should respond with loving Him and serving Him. Meaning, so this explains the deeper meaning of this is, chol ma'idecha. These two explanations, whether it means with all your money, or it means in every situation. So this explains that the word ma'id signifies infinity. Because the word ma'id literally translates as very much. Now, very much, although it's intended to describe an amount, meaning it's not a small amount, but it's a very large amount. But the word very much actually doesn't place any limit on just what the amount is. It just says that it's a lot. So ultimately, since there's no definitive measurement for a lot, what defines a lot? To one person, a lot might be a smaller amount. To another person, a lot might be a larger amount. To what each person considers a lot, there is no exact measure. So basically, as soon as it explains that what this is trying to signify is that you have to serve Hashem without any limits. B'chol ma'idecha means with your infinity. So that is the deeper explanation of what it means to serve Hashem with all your money. It's just like when it comes to money, a person is ready to do, is prepared to do everything and anything in order to survive. So, deeper meaning of serving Hashem with all your money means with everything you have, to give everything you have and more, to go beyond your limits in your service of Hashem. Similarly, the idea that with every measure that He measures out to you, meaning in any situation that you find yourself in, you have to serve Hashem, love Hashem, and serve Hashem, even in those situations, with that signifies is again that there are no limits to the obligation to love and serve Hashem. So again, what it means is to serve Hashem with all your infinity. So the Torah tells us that every Jew has the capacity to serve Hashem going beyond their limits in an infinite way. On the other hand, we find that the service of Hashem is something that has to operate very much within the limits of a person's reality. Well, each of the Torah mitzvahs are connected to physical realities, to finite, limited physical objects and situations, and it's dealing with finite, limited people. So on the one hand, we say that a person has to serve Hashem with each aspect of their finite personality, their finite character, each aspect of their finite existence, their material possessions, and so on. On the other hand, we say that a Jew has to be able to go beyond those limits and serve Hashem in an infinite way. The other says the ultimate is that one should serve Hashem, that these two aspects of divine service should be connected. One is to serve Hashem, that when you're serving Hashem in an infinite way, this should permeate every part of your finite being and your finite reality as you experience it. And even when serving Hashem on a finite level, it should be done in a manner of b'chol ma'idecha, with all your infinity. So this all sounds very nice, and it all sounds very wonderful. Serve Hashem with your infinity and with your finiteness or finitude. The question is, what exactly does it all mean? What does it mean that you can serve Hashem in an infinite way? And the Rebbe explains also that this is related to the ultimate purpose of creation. The ultimate purpose of creation is that Hashem's infinite light be revealed in a finite world. So in order for the infinite light to be absorbed in a finite world, so the service of Hashem has to come from within the finite world. Which again, these are concepts that we hear repeated often, but we have to have some clarity on just exactly what does it all mean. It also goes on to talk about that the power that we have this from, where do we get this power from, to serve Hashem in this way. He says that we have it from Moshe Rabbeinu, as it says, Moshe Kibbol Torah Sinai, the Rebbe associates this with the beginning of Pirkei Avos, that Moshe Kibbol Torah Sinai, Moshe received the Torah from Sinai, so that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who incorporates within himself both the infinite and the finite. Therefore, he can be the go-between between Hashem and the Jewish people. And where does Moshe get this power from? As it says that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from Sinai. Sinai is the lowest of all the mountains, which signifies the aspect of bittul. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was in a state of total bittul, therefore he can incorporate within himself both the infinite and the finite. Therefore he can be the one to receive the Torah and give it over to each and every Jew, thereby giving them the power to accomplish this connecting of the infinite and the finite. This power that the Rebbe says that every Jew has, which enables them to do their part in bringing about the coming of Mashiach. The Rebbe says, when we find the concept in Torah of a Jew being a partner in creation, the Rebbe explains a partner doesn't just mean an assistant, someone who helps out. A partner means someone who's involved in every detail of the business and also shares in the burden of responsibility. You is addressing each and every Jew in the singular.
So why do we say it addresses every Jew when it doesn't say every Jew?
It doesn't have to say every Jew. The Torah talks in the singular. It says you, it's addressing itself to each and every Jew. So, that's the rule. That's how the Torah works. So, explains that each person is a partner in creation with the Eibushter. Every person has not only the power to be of assistance to the Eishka, but he's actually meant to be involved in every detail of creation, up to and including sharing the burden of responsibility for creation. And therefore the Rebbe says that each and every person should be focused on their responsibility rather than on giving work to others. We should everyone's responding to the fact that we have to chavkas this one. The Rebbe said, I'm giving it over to you, the reaction of many people, the response of many people were to come to the Rebbe and say, no, we can't do it, the Rebbe has to do it. So the Rebbe said, recognizing your abilities and your responsibilities means that you have to take it upon yourself and to know that you have the capacity to do it and not look for giving work to others. So the question is, what does all of this mean? What does it mean that through Moshe Rabbeinu, through the bittul of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's able to incorporate within himself the infinite and the finite, and this is something that's given over to each and every Jew, to bring down the infinite into the finite, to serve God on a level where the infinite, on an infinite level, and at the same time that infinity is internalized. We won't talk about internalizing infinity, but what exactly does it mean? There's one other point that the Rebbe makes, which is that it is specifically through the finite, through the limitations of the finite world, that we have the ability to access, to reveal the infinite and to internalize the infinite. It is specifically through the limitations of the physical world that we have that capacity. So not only should the limitations of the physical world not be a problem, that should not be viewed as a problem which is impossible to overcome, but actually what we have to realize is that it is the limitations of the physical world itself that make it possible that the infinite be revealed, and that it be revealed within a finite world. And an illustration of this concept that Rebbe gives with the well-known statement of Hazal, what a prick here. I was called Lay Matera Mitech Aini, Sefer Lamda Mitech Aisha. Somebody who studies Torah in a state of poverty, in the end, will merit to study Torah in a position of wealth. You see that it's specifically through the poverty, through serving God in the poverty, in a position, in a state where one's resources are limited, that one is able to achieve a state where they are able to receive Hashem's blessings in a way that are beyond limitations. So we have to understand what is drawing the infinite down into the finite, serving God on an infinite and finite level, and that specifically through the finite we access and reveal and draw down the infinite. And all of this is accomplished through the powers were given by Moshe Rabbeinu, which all originates from the power of good. One of the things that, when we talk about bittul, self-nullification, bittul to Hashem, we're talking about nullifying self. We have to understand what is some of the more practical applications of bittul and expressions of bittul, but also we have to understand the deeper significance of what the power of bittul is really over. Why is it, as you mentioned yesterday, that through bittul we can access and achieve things that if we wanted to do them in an orderly step-by-step process would be far more difficult, would take far more time, but through bittul we're able to accomplish things that are theoretically otherwise impossible, like connecting the infinite to the finite, for example, which theoretically is impossible. This is a paradox, to be able to reveal infinity within the finite. So how is it that bittul has these tremendous powers. But in order to understand the deeper power within Bittul, we have to first understand some of the more practical applications of Bittul. One of the things, when we talk about people struggling with their personal limitations, one of the things that people find extremely difficult is to be able to change. To be able to change means, on a more local level, it means a person has a certain character trait, a certain mannerism, a certain behavior, a certain habit, and they want to change that. Sometimes it goes deeper. People have certain emotional responses. People have certain aspects of their inner character, their emotional makeup, which they find to be challenging, burdensome, and difficult, and limiting in many ways, and they want to change that. There's changing your way of thinking. Sometimes people find that their attitudes and their perspectives, their outlooks on things are improper or incorrect, and they want to change that. So there are many different levels at which people might feel a need to change, and yet, at each progressively deeper level of change, people find generally progressively more difficult. So the question is, why is it so difficult to change? And what is the secret to being able to change? The reason why it is so difficult to change is because of the fact that we are finite beings and a finite being. The definition of finite means, the definition of something being limited and finite means that it is what it is and not something else. It can be defined. The word finite comes from the same root as the word definition, which means it could be defined and described in a specific way. This is what it is. Okay? What makes a table a table? What makes a table is that it has four legs and a tabletop, which is a surface that you can place things on. That's what makes it a table and not a chair. It's usually at the height of the level where people who are sitting can make use of it. So that defines it as a table. What makes a table a table? What makes a chair a chair? And what makes a table not a chair and a chair not a table is that each one of those things have certain defining characteristics. And sometimes those defining characteristics are not as clear, and yet people are able to define things. One of the phenomena that science has discovered is that when little children see a dog, so even if you show them many different kinds of dogs, which look very different, one breed from the other, they will recognize it as a dog. And if they see a cat, even if they see other cats which are very different looking than the cat that they've seen, they'll recognize it as a cat. And they're not sure exactly why children are able to do that. Because some dogs look so different than other dogs. How is it that a child is able to see a dog and now be shown any other kind of dog and recognize it as a dog? But the fact is that human beings have that capacity, which is to be able to see something for what it is, define it, recognize certain defining characteristics, and be able to recognize all other dogs and realize that a dog is a dog, not a cat, and a cat is a cat, not a dog. Even though there may be some dogs that look more like cats, and some cats that look more like dogs, it doesn't matter. We have the capacity to see something for what it is, to recognize somehow certain defining characteristics, and be able to distinguish one thing from the other. So because that is the nature of a finite world, so therefore, that which is what it is. So everything has certain defining characteristics. It's what it is, and it will never be anything else. A dog will never become a cat. a cat will never become a dog. Okay? So, in a finite world, there is no real capacity for change. And even if you could change the form of something, okay, you could take a table apart and take the same wood and now fashion it into a chair, or you could take certain metals and melt them down and change their shape, it's only a change in form, not a change in substance. So the reason why finite, limited human beings find it so difficult to change is because the very nature of limitations are that they define you for what you are. So therefore, the very nature of the world makes it difficult to change. And yet, we find that human beings do have a capacity for real change. Not only change in form, which is behavioral change, but actually change in substance. They can actually change their inner characteristics, their emotional makeup, their intellectual makeup. People have a tremendous, unlimited capacity for change. Where does this capacity for change come from? So the capacity for change comes from the fact, and this capacity for change is something that is primarily unique to the Jewish people. A guy's capacity for change is severely limited. So the only true being that has a true capacity for change is a Jew, who has the power of tshuva and has the real power to actually change themselves. As the Rambam says, that when a Jew does tshuva, he is no longer the same person that did those things before. It's not that he's the same person that did those things before, now he mended his ways, he changed his behavior. The Rambam says that I am no longer that same person. Therefore, the Rambam suggests that one of the elements of tshuva is changing one's name. Because even though that's not a custom that we do nowadays, but the Rambam says that's your way of announcing that I am no longer that same person. I have become a different being than the being who performed those acts in the past. So a Jew has the capacity to change their very being. Where does this capacity come from? If the difficulty for change comes from the fact that the nature of the world is that it is a limited, finite world, and everything in a limited, finite world is clearly delineated and defined, and therefore not subject to substantive change, so in and of itself. So when we say that a Jew has the capacity to change, it is because the Jew has been granted through the Torah, and through the power of Der Neshama, that we granted the power of infinity. So the Jew has the capacity to access infinity. Infinite power. In order to change one thing and make it something else, who could change a cat and make it into a dog? Who could change a dog and make it into a cat? The only power that can do that is the power of the Creator. Hashem has the power to take a cat and make it into a dog, and take a dog and make it into a cat. There is no other power in existence that could do that. So the power for substantive change comes from Hashem's infinite power, because Hashem is not limited, because He is not limited to any form of expression. Therefore, He can take one form and one substance and transform it into something else, because He is infinite. So when we say that a Jew has been given the power of change, as expressed in tshuva, and in general, in the service of Hashem, if a Jew has been granted the power to change, that means we have been given an infinite power. We have been given granted the power of the Creator, has been granted to us, giving us the capacity to change ourselves. And we not only have the capacity to change ourselves, we also have the capacity to change the world. We could take the world and make it from a place in which godliness is concealed, a world which, by its very definition, conceals godliness, because finite, by definition, is the opposite of infinite, and therefore conceals the infinite. But that is only when we look at the world from the perspective of the finite. Then finite and infinite are opposites. But from Hashem's perspective, there's nothing preventing revealing infinity within the finite, even though it is a seeming paradox, because only Hashem has the power to do that, because he is not limited to be either infinite or finite. He can express himself both in the infinite and the finite, and the two are completely interchangeable to him, and therefore he has the capacity to reveal the infinite within the finite. That capacity has been granted to every single Jew. Every Jew has the capacity for change, to change themselves. Every single Jew has the capacity for change, to change the world. So how come we don't always feel all that power? How come we do feel